Some years ago I spoke on definitions of words, specific words, how they should be defined, and I'd like to speak today about another word. Because obviously we all use words. We think with words, right? Thinking is not completely abstract. We think using words. Depending on which, for people who know more than one language, which in India is very common, and where I'm from in England, it's not so common. For people who speak more than one language, you find that you generally speak it, you think in one language or another. If you're speaking English most of the time, then you think in English. If you speak in Hindi most of the time, you think in Hindi. Or sometimes in your mind it all gets mixed up. And then you dream in the language that you speak most also. We can think in terms of concepts that are expressed by words. There are what are called abstract nouns. In English they're called abstract nouns, like compassion, love, peace. They're abstract. It means you can't pick it up and touch it. It's not palpable or tangible. Like when we say microphone, you can see it, you can touch it, it's fairly easy to define. It's not so much a concept as an object. Whereas compassion, it's a concept. And different people may define it in different ways. So when you say something, so when you say a word to one person, you may understand it in one way and they may understand it in another way. What you're attempting to convey may not be fully conveyed because of their different concept of the or understanding of that word. And in different languages there are different terms. Just like this word sincerity in English, there's no Sanskrit or Indian word which directly translates as sincerity. Give it a try. Honesty is, that's an English word, but it doesn't mean sincerity. It's a somewhat different word. Gambhiratva means, it means deep. It literally means deep or serious. It's not exactly the same as sincerity. You could say akapatva, non-duplicity. Maybe that's the closest you can come. In Bengali, in the books, Prabhupada's books, they used to translate it as aikantik. What is it? Aikantik for sincere. From the word ekant, means fixed on one goal. But even that doesn't exactly give sincerity. So there's just an example. And there are many words in Sanskrit which don't exactly translate into English. Like, for instance, dharma. It's very difficult, even in Sanskrit. There are many different definitions of that. Different people, they try to give different definitions. That's not a very good example, because even within its own culture, it's difficult to define. Prabhupada, of course, defined it how? Dharmaṁ tu sākṣāt bhagavat pranītam. Dharma is that which is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that is a definition, but it doesn't cover the whole range of concepts which are covered by the term dharma. Well, in many words, just like prem, that's translated as love, but the English word love doesn't cover that. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that may be the most important verse of all, of anywhere, in all the Shastras. Atendriya priti vancha tare bale kam, krishendriya priti icha dhare premona. That kam means desire. That means desire for satisfaction of the senses, one's own senses. But the desire to satisfy Krishna out of love, that is called prema. So there's the difference. There's one word in English, love. Even in prema, not exactly beyond prema, but there are further stages. Pranay, mana, they're described of prema. So, there are different words for mercy in Sanskrit, like kripa, prasad, anukampa, karuna. They can all be translated as mercy or compassion, but they all have their own daya, another one. So they all have their subtle differences like that. So understanding what we mean by words is very important, because misunderstanding of words can give us a completely wrong idea of everything that we're trying to do and accomplish. What about the word God? I mean, how many people are there in the world? 7 billion, coming on 7 billion now. Maybe there are about 7 billion concepts of what it means, God. God, Bhagavan, Ishvara, Allah, Tera, Nam, Sabko, Sanmati, De Bhagavan. Mahatma Gandhi, he didn't know. He didn't know what was going on. God, yeah, commonly translated as Bhagavan or Ishvara. These are the two most common terms to translate God. Although the Christian conception, Ishvara is closer than Bhagavan. Definitely much closer. Ishvara. Prabhu, sometimes. Niyanta would be a good term for the Christian definition of God. So anyway, compassion. Now, this term, there are certain terms which are commonly used by supposedly saintly people, such as compassion, love, peace. Some of them speak of humility and all these. But unless these terms are defined in terms of their spiritual function, then they're understood in terms of their material function, which is bogus. It's not the actual meaning of the term. So if we just say words like compassion, love, peace, blah, 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 without clearly defining them in relationship to Krishna, it might seem saintly, but actually it's just cheating, that's all. We're not conveying to people what they really need to hear. Just like, for instance, compassion. Now, this is considered a saintly quality, which it certainly is. But if compassion is not defined in relationship to Krishna, then it becomes mundane and just the opposite of actual compassion. In relationship to Krishna means that those who understand that the actual welfare for each jiva is to surrender to Krishna should instruct others to do so. That is compassion. to give them the knowledge they need to get free from all suffering. That is compassion. If we don't have that knowledge, then if we speak about compassion, compassion means to... let me see now. It means to feel pity. It's like karuna in Sanskrit. To feel for the suffering of others. Paradukaduki. And to try to do something to alleviate the suffering of others. Now, this whole material world is full of suffering. So, a compassionate person, they try to do something to relieve the suffering of others. And they may try to do so by, for instance, opening hospitals, feeding the poor, administering medicine to sick people, fighting for human rights, and so on. These may be considered acts of compassion. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of saving the shirt of a drowning man. That thinking the shirt to be the person and saving the shirt from plunging into the water, from getting submerged in the water, is simply foolishness. So simply to treat in the same way, to extend compassion only to the body is foolishness. It doesn't really help them at all. So, the idea that we're compassionate to others by opening hospitals and schools so that they can get a good job and feeding the poor and having eye camps and all this kind of thing, without giving people knowledge of Krishna, it's all useless, or actually worse than useless, because it seems as if you're actually doing something to help others, whereas you're not. By not giving them knowledge of Krishna, then you're actually cheating them and only making it seem as if you're doing something to help, but not giving them the knowledge that will really help them. It's just like, say, if someone's sentenced to death, and you make a campaign that, well, you should hang him with very comfortable rope, not very rough rope. Is that compassion? Or is it very helpful to him? Just like they say, well, you should kill the animals in a humane way. It's a very common thing in the Western countries. They have this idea, they're very upset. You see, you're killing the animals, and they're suffering so much, and you should kill them just in a way that they don't suffer. So, this bodily welfare work is like hanging someone with it, making sure the rope is very smooth so it doesn't hurt his neck when it goes around his neck. You make a big campaign and go marching in the streets. Spend lots of money, collect lots of money for a campaign that people should be hanged with comfortable ropes. Just totally overlooking the monstrous fact that they're going to die, which is a lot worse than the little temporary discomfort on their neck. So in the same way, feeding the poor, opening schools, opening hospitals, it's not actually a matter of compassion. Or I may think, yeah, it's not a matter of compassion, because saving people from birth and death, that's the enormous fact that we're attempting to ignore. and concentrating on what are, in comparison, insignificant considerations. I mean, it is a fact that people are suffering in this material world, but we can't alleviate it by mundane means. If you feed a person, they become hungry again. If you do something to help their body, well, they're going to get another body, and another body, and another body. And even within this body, they have to suffer so much in so many ways. So the real solution is anartho pashamam sakshad bhakti yoga madhoksaje lokasya janato vidvans chakre satvata sanghitam. To give them Prabhupada's books. That people don't know that they can get free from all these varieties of suffering by engaging in devotional service to Krishna. They don't know. So Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam to inform them. And make a note of that, write it down. Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam to inform them. And Prabhupada, people didn't know. Again, people didn't know. And Prabhupada gave the books. The Bhagavatam was there, but people didn't know of the Bhagavatam. In the Western world, they didn't know of the Bhagavatam. And in India, they just knew about this. The people that knew about Bhagavatam knew about this impersonal translations or showy entertainment style katas, but the actual message of Bhagavatam people didn't know. Prabhupada gave that to the world. So that is actual compassion. Or we may think that it's compassionate to people to speak very nicely. In Rishikesh, this was the last place that Prabhupada visited before he came to Vrindavan and passed away. He was giving darshan every night. And he was speaking very strongly. Rishikesh, as you may know, it's a Mayavadi stronghold. So one elderly, sweet-natured English woman was coming every evening. And Prabhupada was speaking very strongly against Mayavad. And she said, this English woman, when the time came for questions, she one evening she said, well, don't you think you should be more compassionate? You're speaking so strongly. And Prabhupada said, your compassion is like blowing on a boil. If you have a boil, you blow on it, you get very little relief for a very short time. What is required is to lance it and get all the pus out. So Prabhupada, his compassion was like lancing boils. That's actual compassion. So real compassion means to act for others' good, even if they don't like it. Compassion means to help people, but often people won't understand what that help is, and they'll think it's not compassion. They'll think it's cruelty. Just like if a boy has a boil, and his mother takes him to the doctor, and the doctor is cutting the boil. He's screaming, and the mother, he's looking at his mother. Why is his mother not doing anything? The mother's, she should help me. This nasty person, what's he doing? But the mother, she doesn't blame the doctor. She thinks the doctor's doing a very good job. She pays him for it. So for those who don't understand, the Vaishnava's compassion may seem to be just the opposite, cruelty. Whereas the Vaishnavas see that the so-called compassion of the Mayavadis and the materialistic people, it's not compassion at all. It's simply violence in the name of compassion. And it may seem that they're very nice, they smile, They talk softly, but they're simply cheating others. Tomar bhalo bhasha, mushomaner murgir posha. Prabhupada used to quote this Bengali saying. You're laughing, but I think you can you understand what that means? Tomar means your. Bhalo bhasha, it means love. Not prem, means material love. Mushomane murgir posha. It's like a Muslim looking after his chicken. Nowadays the Hindus, they all have chickens, with few exceptions, in Bengal. So you look after the chicken very nicely, feed it very nicely, protect it from foxes and all this kind of thing. And always seen that the chicken is looked after and fed nicely, but the whole aim is that when it becomes fat enough, you cut its throat and eat it. So your love is like a Muslim looking after his chicken. So this so-called compassion is simply cheating. And any term not defined in relationship to Krishna is simply cheating. Materialistic people, they can't understand this. There's this Mother Teresa of Calcutta. They're so compassionate, so wonderful. What about Bhaktivedanta Swami of Calcutta? If Prabhupada's one time sneezing is far more beneficial to the world than anything Mother Teresa, everything she did in her whole life put together. You may say, well, how can a sneeze benefit anyone? But anything, Prabhupada, just being in this world is of total benefit to the world, whereas she's just another cheater. You may say, well, she was very religious, she believed in Jesus and all this, but this whole idea that mundane welfare work is religious, actually this idea was in Vedic culture, yes, material welfare work is religious. It's part of dharma. That the kings, they're supposed to, in times of famine, they're supposed to distribute grains. They keep extra stock of grains. The government of India does that now also. Rich men, they're supposed to do pious activities like digging wells, planting shade trees, and all this kind of thing. These are called religious activities or punya karma. But they're not considered spiritual activities. Beyond punya, the level of punya karma is brahma jignyasa, inquiry into the spiritual. So spiritual activities, they begin with jnana and yoga and the full manifestation of spiritual activities are in bhakti. So it wasn't expected in Vedic culture that the sadhus, they open hospitals, schools, and that's for karmis. That's the work of pious mundanas who want to get a pious result from doing so. They want to go to the heavenly planets and all this kind of thing. In Christianity, that idea was very strong. I'm not exactly sure historically when it came up, but it's stated in the New Testament, one of the epistles or whatever, in the New Testament of the Bible, that Jesus said that you should do unto, well, that's also there in any culture, you should do unto others as you would have done to yourself. And it said that Jesus, he brought dead people back to life and cured crippled people and all this kind of thing. Did miracles. Performed miracles. Turned water into wine so that all the people, in the marriage ceremony of one of his relatives or something, there wasn't enough wine to go around, so Jesus turned the water into wine and benefited them. And like this. And in modern Christianity, they put a lot of stock on miracles, right? That someone comes, faith healing and all. But miracles doesn't prove anything. So-called miracles. is someone's God or not God? Does, I mean, even even the demons can perform miracles, right? We find that the Shukracharya and Maya Danava, they have this Mrita Sanjeevani, they can bring dead people back to life. There's some process for doing that. Hiranyakashipu, he was able to maintain his life just in the skeleton. So even demons can perform miracles. Miracle means it's something is affected by a means that we can't understand, and to us it looks something superhuman. So a yogi is superhuman. Sai Baba, he's said to perform miracles. I don't know. It was a miracle he managed to cheat so many people. That's despite being so bogus. So that's his biggest miracle. And turned out the Satya Sai Baba. Nowadays in India, this Shirdi is just madness, how people are after him. So in this idea that Jesus had healed heal the sick people, bring the dying people back to life, and all this kind of thing. So in Christianity, they put a lot of emphasis that you have to do welfare work, and this is what saintly people do. But it was never there in Indian culture. It was never there that sadhus, they do all this. Maybe that was started with the Ramakrishna Mission. They started this, and they got a good reputation for having hospitals and relief work. And nowadays, it's considered that every sadhu, they just presume that you're supposed to have hospitals and schools and all this kind of thing. It's just like when you go on the train from Mangalore to Chennai, you go through the ghats and there's this huge engineering college, Amma, and all this. Sai Baba, he had drinking water supply for Anantapur district, but it wasn't enough, right? Because so many people in Anantapur suffering from droughts. We saw in Tirupati a few years ago, so many people have come to Tirupati. There's no water in their home area. So it's just presumed that sadhus, they have to do this, but that's not traditionally part of the culture, that sadhus do this. The idea that welfare work is spiritual is based on the misconception that the body is the self. Whereas real compassion and real welfare work is para upaka. You've heard this term. Janma shata kari karo para upaka. Bharata bhumite hoila manusha janma ja. Those who are born as humans in India, they should make their life successful and perform para upaka. So para upaka means beneficial activities for others, and it also can also mean the supreme beneficial activity. So real beneficial activities for others is to bring them to Krishna consciousness, by which they can get free from all suffering. So that's the work of sadhus. And the lower level material, the lower level welfare work, which should also be done, that's to be done by pious materialists. But because in the modern age people are so much on the bodily platform of life, and because sadhus have started to do this, this contamination started with the Ramakrishna Mission. Maybe they're trying, the very word mission suggests they're trying to imitate the Christian missionaries. Otherwise, where did that term come from? It's an English term. There's no, not a Sanskrit word or Bengali word. So now that idea has become part of the Indian or Hindu psyche, that we have to do this. Sadhus are supposed to do this. But it's mundane. It's mundane. So we see that Srila Prabhupada, although he sometimes said that we should distribute that's there. If we have an institution which is capable of doing so, then we should do so. Many times there are floods in Mayapur, and we have big kitchens, we have manpower, so in an emergency situation, which is all around us locally, then we should distribute prasad. But it's not that our whole mission is to feed the poor, have hospitals and schools so that people can become engineers and develop the country and give them midday meals so that they can have a good start in life and have a good job and all this nonsense. Our mission is to tell people, first and foremost, that you're not the body. So just maintain the body at the minimal level and do everything that is required so we don't get born again. Ladva, I forgot the verse that night. Ladva sudurlabhamidang bahu sambhavante manusham artatam anityam apihadhira turnam yatetanapatedanum ritayavan nishrayasaya vishaya kalu sarvatasyat. Having obtained this rare human form of life, we should understand that it's not going to last long, but it's very valuable, because in the human form of life we can act in such a way that we don't get born again. So we should properly utilize it and not engage in sense gratification, which is available in every form of life. So this when you hear people speaking about compassion, you're saying, oh, how wonderful. But it's very dangerous. Very dangerous when you hear. Actually, if someone comes with a knife, then you can understand he's your enemy. If he comes with a knife to attack you, then you understand he's your enemy. But if they come talking about love, peace, compassion, humility, and nice relationships, and all this kind of thing, but without clearly defining it all in relationship to Krishna, he's a worse enemy, because you think he's your friend. Anything defined outside of a relationship with Krishna is opposite to our real self-interest. And therefore, even though the person himself might think he's being a friend, because he doesn't recognize the supreme friend, therefore he's acting as an enemy. Be careful. Insidious compassion. Hare Krishna. All right.